It wasn't even good college football, which I don't understand, but that's beside the point. All right, let's go. Come on. Let's do this.
Right. Intro's time, yeah.
Do-do-do-do.
Right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 517 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is March 10th, 2019. And we broadcast every Sunday, usually right around 9 p.m. in the UK, sometimes 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central when it's not daylight savings time or undaylight savings time. I don't know what you would call this time. Is it standard time now?
It is.
I think it's standard time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
All I know is I got fucked out of an hour of sleep, so right? I'm not exactly happy. But the good news is we are here, we are live, we are ready to talk video games as well as life stuff. If you are watching us, you are either on twitch.tv, mixer.tv, sorry, mixer.com, or youtube.com with the /OC podcast in that URL, and you are watching us live. You can also catch our show on replay on, of course, all of these lovely channels, but also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can watch it or listen to it depending on your preference. I am one of the hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag OC underscore Murphy's Law. With me today, I have three lovely individuals. The least lovely of the three, starting with Mr. Gary D. Felice.
Yeah, I figured that would be me. How are you, Greg?
I am good. Yep. And middle loveliness would be Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. And the loveliest of lovelies is Kim Woods.
Yeah, I was screaming like a demon 5 seconds ago. So, you know, lovely.
I was like that all day yesterday.
Yeah. Technology has not been our friends. Apparently,
No.
We've had some struggles, but we got the show off more or less on time. It is going to be a quick show today. We have an hour and a half.
Wow, are we getting posh?
Hour and a half. That is non-negotiable. So, or I will just quit. That's bottom line. All right. Well, we don't have any birthdays. We don't have any other business to talk about. So let's jump into story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. I'm going to start with the person with the least amount of shit going on, which is Kim Woods. Kim, it is the same shit, different week, apparently.
Pretty much. It rained instead of snowed, so there was that. But
that is something new. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, everything kind of status quo, I take it.
Yeah. You know, I'm in a smaller size pants. I don't know if anybody cares, but there's that. So.
Well, let's see the label.
You need hot pants. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Hold on. I was told we were not supposed to wear pants on this podcast, so I'm just saying
I'm just saying I went to smaller size.
Gotcha. All right. Well, congratulations. I know you have been working out diligently. You have been the best out of all of us.
Well, you know, I'm trying to catch up with you because, you know, you're like the gym junkie, apparently. So
I am a gym junkie, but also a crap food junkie. So over the holidays, it took its toll. I started running again. That's when you know I'm getting serious by getting back into shape. I fucking hate running.
I hear you.
But running seems to work. That and the elliptical trainer, those are the two that will work best for getting the LBs
point,
off.
What is the point in running?
Oh, Mark.
So I don't have to buy pants the next size up. That is the point.
I actually enjoy running. So how about that, you bastard?
Well, you know what? I like running on streets.
Yes, that's all I will run.
I don't run on streets, though. I run in the gym, which is very boring.
Yeah.
I'll stick with my exercise bike.
Yeah, I run the streets of the of the city, you know?
Right.
Kim, what are you doing? Did you do a plan, or did you just say, I'm going to eat smarter?
Yeah, pretty much. I still pretty much eat the same thing. I'm kind of like tanked up. I still drink soda and I still eat cookies. But, you know, I cut back. You know, I eat less. I may only drink like 2 sodas a week, if that. So, and then I get on the exercise bike and go for like an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, you know. Nah. And there's push-ups and squats and that sort of thing in there too every once in a while.
It's good. You look great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You look good.
No double chin.
I get the weight gain in my face big time. I can always tell, like right down here, the jaw area.
Yeah.
That's me too.
That thing right there.
We're actually going through old pictures today, and I saw a lot. And I lost a year ago. I lost probably about 20-something pounds, and I've kept it off this year. Like I went through the winter, even made it through, and I could see. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh man, I was heavy for a while.
I discovered some pictures of me in my 30s, and holy crap, I was skinny. I mean, I'll have to share them when I'll pull them out. And yeah, it's like I don't even recognize myself. I'm like, who the hell is this person?
And what happened, Lane? You know?
Yeah. All right. Kim, again, congratulations on the weight loss. And you know what? Real quick, that is an important thing you mentioned, though, because oftentimes people start exercising and they pay attention to weight.
Mm-hmm.
Weight is not a good barometer of results. If you're exercising and you're doing it diligently, what you should start to see is that your clothes are going to fit differently. And that is your first sign that you're doing it right. Weight is going to fluctuate. It will go up sometimes. It'll come down sometimes. But as you get into better shape, your clothes will fit differently. Hopefully you're a little baggier in the spots where it needs to be, maybe a little tighter in other spots because you're toning up a little bit. So again, just pay attention to that. Your body transformation, that's going to be, I think a little more rewarding than trying to watch a scale.
Exactly.
With that said, I need to lose 10 pounds by April 15th.
Oh, well, I've still got like 15 more to go. So
yeah, no, we're going out to Vegas. We're going to go, you know, hit the pools, that kind of thing. So I'm like, all right, I've got at least to shed about 10 pounds and I'll be happy.
There you go. You can do it.
I'm well on my way. All right. Gary, you've got a lot going on.
Dude, it's crazy. Everybody kept telling me that your son's junior year of high school is nuts. And it is. This poor kid's going through a lot, but it's somewhat fun. So we talked last time I was going on that little college tour.
Right.
We went up to Massachusetts. I went to UMass Amherst. Mm-hmm. We went to a little college called Bentley, which is a business school. We went to Boston College, Boston University, Northeastern, Providence. Okay. Bryant was another little college. We had a great time. It was really fun hanging out with the boys. They love Boston. And I don't know if you've been to Boston.
Boston is awesome.
City. Yeah. BU is basically at the end of the campus. Mm-hmm. You're a block away from Fenway Park. And the kids are like, this is awesome. They get $9 student tickets, stuff like that. So they love Boston. The schools are, you know, most of the ones we looked at are really expensive. So they better get really good SAT scores, which
aren't they going to be disowned by most of your family, though? Being New Yorkers, you can't intermix with Bostonites. I mean, that's like a no-go.
My nephew's up in Northeastern, which is on the other side of Fenway. So you're allowed to go there. You just can't really root for him. And they said, actually, it's funny. They said, you know, the only problem with going to school up here is we got to deal with Red Sox and Patriot fans. And I said, yeah, that is the one drawback.
If they come home wearing a Red Sox hat, you're going to flip your shit.
It will not happen. No Red Sox, no Patriot fans here. Ever. Ever.
I see a junior prom also coming up.
Yeah, well, he went to his girlfriend's junior prom last night, so that was pretty cool.
All right. Fun fact, my virginity at my junior prom.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I might want to go count the condoms and see how many are left. I don't think he drank because he was home and up pretty early. Well, he got home after midnight. I was well asleep, but he was up pretty early this morning and pretty chipper, so I'm guessing he didn't drink last night.
Right.
But I don't know about the other part.
Right. Don't ask, don't tell, Dad. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. And he got his driver's license right before we went to Boston on that little tour. So now he's driving, which is good and bad.
Officially dangerous.
having a son driving is pretty scary shit. But when he wants to go to the gym at 8:30 at night, go ahead. Right. And I'm not getting back up at 9:30 to go pick him up or, you know, that kind of stuff. So we're slowly expanding where he can drive. We won't let him drive to his girlfriend's house yet because he has to go on a parkway, but we'll get there. And he needs a freaking car.
Yeah, that's the next step.
Yep. Yeah, so he's keeping me pretty busy, that young man.
Just a little bit. That is awesome stuff, though. That is good. I'm going to shift gears over to Mark. Mark, you have some real happy news to talk about. Let's talk about this.
It's just been a shit few weeks for me, really. That's why I've not been on. I've been poorly. Jenny's been poorly. I had this infection crap stuff going on, and Jenny ended up back in hospital again because it was affecting her heart again. So she was in there a few days, but she came home. Everything's okay now. We're on the mend. But then yesterday,
I still think Jenny might be faking this, and she just wants somebody else to get away from me.
Yeah.
I think that it might be the case.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression as well.
It's happening a little. You know, there's some frequency here, and she times it nicely. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, so yesterday I thought, right, I'm going to be on the show this week. I'll fire up the hardware and everything and just double check everything. I'll have a quick go on trials because we've got a trials contest running. So puts the Xbox on within. I run one of the tracks, I've got a pretty decent time. I was just about to upload the time to the leaderboards and it says you've been disconnected. I thought, that's strange. Is Xbox Live down? So I checked again, wouldn't connect. And then the Xbox Live notice disconnected me as well. And then my Mac was on the side of me. That suddenly went, no internet. All the Wi-Fi stuff in the house wouldn't work. Oh, shit, what's going on here? We have had a lot of issues with Virgin recently, who's our internet provider, where it's been a bit sporadic. So I thought it might be Virgin. So I went upstairs, checked the main super hub, because I had it in what was called modem mode with my own router. Or router, if you're in America.
Yeah, what the hell is a router?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A router.
Don't let's not go down this road. We spent like 20 minutes yesterday.
So, yeah, the internet was fine. It wasn't the supply to the house. Now, normally with a router, you can put in the IP address and you can access the admin pages of it and everything and look at it and see if it's got an IP address or not. I couldn't get that. Which is the first time it's ever done that. So I started thinking, my router stroke router has gone for a shit. So it finally connected for a short period of time, so I updated the firmware to see if I could cure it, and it killed it. The little gear cog on the front light panel just kept flashing all the time, and it just would not work at all after that. So I was in a bit of a panic then, because I had no internet, no Wi-Fi, nothing. And in 2019, that is worse than losing a fucking limb. Mm-hmm. Not having internet was horrendous. Yeah. Because we rely on the internet so much now because we've had all our sort of like TV channels turned off and we now rely on online services, streaming services like Netflix and everything. And we're thinking, shit, what are we going to do?
You have freaking light bulbs in your house that rely on the internet.
Exactly, yeah, everything. So... Oh, this is going too long for you, Greg. But sorry, but I've got this Virgin Super Hub, which is in modem mode. Now you can use it as a router stroke router,
right?
So to save money and time, because I can't really afford another router stroke router, I put this Virgin Super Hub back into its normal sort of like router mode. Now historically, they've not been very good at doing that. It's the latest version and they've come a long way since then. So anyway, I set it up and it works perfectly. It's running really, really well, touch wood.
we talked about this yesterday. I mean, you have upgraded your speed as well to the point that I think...
They keep doing free speed upgrades. I think I'm on 320 megs down and 20 meg up. But now I've got one less piece of equipment in the pipeline. So rather than the super hub, my old router, and then on my equipment, I've now just got the super hub and then on my equipment. So it's cut the middleman out. So I don't know if it's just psychological, but I think everything's running really faster. The Wi-Fi seems faster. The only downside was, so when you set up a Wi-Fi network, you can set its SSID up, and the password. So I was hoping just to use my same password and SSID as the last one so I didn't have to change anything. No, not as easy as that, because this Superhub would not accept my old password because it didn't have a capital letter. And in 2019, you have to have a capital letter in your password. Fucking bastards. Mm. So I had to change everything with Wi-Fi on.
Yeah.
And when you've got Alexa with bulbs, plugs, and other shit turned on and off, it's a fucking nightmare.
Thank God I don't have that.
You would think that actually would be easy, that Alexa would just let you change the password through Alexa and it would change it for everything.
Well, no, because...
Come on, Amazon, wake up.
Amazon, the Alexa app only interfaces with the other apps, what controls the equipment. Right. So you have to go into their app and then change it in their app. But you can't even... It's not as simple as just connecting to the bulb and changing its password. I had to remove the device and reprogram it. It's a bloody night. It just took ages. So there was a few choice swear words yesterday and a bit of a rage going down. It was freezing yesterday and I had a bit of a sweat on. So... But yeah, it's all working now.
He lost all remaining hair that he had left.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Look, I'm going to dive in. I've got quite a few things to cover. I'm going to start, though, with this selfie that Robin took for us. I don't know if you can see that. He shot that over to us. So thanks for that, Robin. It's a great selfie picture of yourself. Thank you for that. Let's see. Boys' weekend. My wife went down to visit her folks, so it's just Colin and I for the weekend. So he actually is in daycare right now, hence why we have to keep this at a fast pace, because daycare closes. I have to go get him.
That's your weekend. Yeah.
I have to go out to Denver tomorrow for a quick day trip. I'm going to go out and just chant Joe Flacco the entire time I'm in the airport.
You might get stoned.
Yeah, I know. I just got back from seeing Captain Marvel. Went and I booked in a quick morning matinee movie and got out because I knew my wife didn't want to see Captain Marvel. And I know there's been controversy around it and it's been getting blasted on Rotten Tomatoes by the public.
All right. I've heard
and you know what I have to say to that? Fuck the haters. It's a good movie. It is not the greatest Marvel movie. I think there are a couple that are better, but I thought it was good. It's entertaining. It sets the stage for this character introducing into the expanded universe. I liked it a lot. So if you are remotely curious about seeing this movie, I would wholeheartedly say go see it. Enjoy it. It is a good Marvel movie.
We're going a week on Wednesday. Can't wait.
There you go. I also downloaded an audiobook from Audible called Junk. Now,
Junk this is drunk?
It's one of the Amazon originals that they offer up that you can download for free as part of your Audible selections on a monthly basis. And the last one I did was the Alien book, which I thought was okay. It was really good, though, production-wise. This book is kind of the opposite. Production-wise, I do not like the guy that's doing the narrative. I think his narration skills are just okay. He doesn't really do a lot of good character voices. He doesn't really add anything to it. I mean, it's just like listening to someone reading the book. And so on that front, I'm like, eh. And I don't really care for the style of the writer. And I don't remember who wrote the book. I apologize. Probably look it up if I really wanted to, but I'm not going to. His flair, I mean, he tries to keep it edgy. It's set in today's times. It's a sci-fi movie. A sci-fi book about, in a sense, kind of a quasi-invasion, if you will. And so it doesn't have – he uses a lot of swear words. I guess that's I probably should preface this. That's why I didn't like his writing style. It just seems like he unnecessarily throws in a lot of cuss words, and I'm not sure why. So it kind of turns me off to it. Don't care for the way it's being read because it's very kind of just rudimentary reading. It's there's no attempt to take on the characters – and give style to their character. So all that said and done, something about this book has me still listening. I there's wanting to know kind of what is at the root of what's happening, and it's driving me through this book. So I have continued to listen to it. I don't know at the end of the day if I'm going to say this is a book to recommend or not. Right now, though, there is something to this book that I've been enjoying. So there's that. So I think that's everything on my end. So why don't we before we move on, Robin would be very mad at me if I didn't say Saturday, April 13th is the Arcade Club meetup. Make sure you reach out to Stu or the Veteran Gamers guys to meet up. They're meeting up at the Arcade Club in Ella Mill, Cork Street, Bury. And there's a zip code in there, which I'm not going to bother to read. So, yeah, there's that. It's April 13th from 11 to 6. I mean, could tell 24-hour time.
I mean, some people are going on for a meal afterwards.
Perfect.
It's a really good day out.
Yeah. It's a good day out. Mm. Anytime you're able to get together with friends and game and celebrate that, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So now we can talk about games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, so talking games. You know, the freebies are kind of all out there. We're in kind of the time period where there's nothing really new available, so I'm not going to worry about talking about that. Going to kind of scroll back through the notes. You know, one of the things that always strikes me funny when we don't have Robin Tate on this podcast, he inevitably goes into our notes and makes changes to things. He'll change certain words, like he'll add certain words. I know. Robin has Robinized our notes today. I have gone through and done as best a cleansing as I possibly could. So, you know, when you do happen to have something to read out, I'm just forewarning our team here. And if we should read something out that doesn't quite sound right to the listeners, again, not our fault. This is Robin. It's all Robin's doing. Blame Bongo the Sane, at Bongo the Sane. Bongo, I think it's all one word, Bongo the Sane on Twitter. Yeah, you can also type in Lucky Irish Mexican, and I think he comes up too. So there's that. All right, let's talk about games we've been playing. Mark, I'm going to start with you.
Right, so a bit of a mixture. So first off, I finished Anthem.
Right.
The story mode.
Boy, that doesn't sound like a good breath.
No.
Let's talk about this. It is disappointing.
Yeah. I so wanted to like this game. And a lot of the demos and stuff we did, it was good. And the co-op side of it is really good. And when we played together, Greg, even on the full release, it was good. But you need that because playing solo is so boring for me. I found it so dreary. It's a colourful, right, beautiful world. The graphics are amazing. The sound is awesome. But it's just boring. I found it repetitive. The enemies were the same over and over again. I couldn't follow the story. I couldn't get the gist of it. All the storytellers in the Tarsis fort thing were all scattered everywhere. It was just so convoluted. I don't know. It just
sounds like Destiny again.
No, it's worse than Destiny.
It doesn't even sound like Destiny to me, but I was a Destiny fan.
Destiny was way better well put together than this.
So I have a slightly different take than this, Mark, but it's similar. I too have been disappointed with what Anthem turned into, and you know, outside of the beta, once we got into proper Anthem, you could very much see the shift to a games as service platform.
Yeah.
The thing I keep thinking about is I think Anthem would have been a really good single player game.
Yeah.
If they had focused on making it a BioWare single player game from the get go.
Yeah. And have that BioWare pedigree. Yeah.
You can see so much of the bones are there. that they could have gone down that road, but because they were constantly trying to turn this into a games as service game, they just do some weird, curious things, you know?
Well, some of the missions was just... They were so... What I felt was lazy. There was one where...
Uninspired,
He had to do these tomb challenges, access these tombs, but to get into the tomb, you had to kill 50 of this type of enemy, 50 of that type of enemy, do so many melee kills, do so many ultimate kills. What? Oh, well,
that's those are just fetch quest type missions that I don't think any of us at this point in time enjoy.
This game had so much potential as well. It could have been so good. And it's completely put me off the end game stuff. Most people, like games like this and Destiny and Division, the whole point is to get through the story and then grind and improve your character, and it's all about the end game, doing the end game bosses, the end game strongholds and forts or whatever, and just doing the challenges, daily challenges. I've no interest in that at all. I haven't deleted it off a hard drive because I've left it there in case anyone like yourself wants to play co-op on it, because I will jump on it for co-op and stuff, right. So I'm not deleting it, but because there's Division 2 coming out very shortly, in fact next week,
right,
I can only have one massive grindy game in my life at once, and Division 2 is going to take over. I know it is.
No, I hear you there. It's such a shame. I may not get to the end game, or even to the end on Anthem, at least for a little while. I have myself been getting sidetracked by the game.
The boss fight. Jeez, that boss fight, that last boss fight with the Dominion guy. It was so weak and, what's the word? Obvious. It was so obvious. Generic boss type battle.
Yeah.
Does the end game have? Did they do raids like they did in Destiny, or even heists like they did in GTA? Or
they have what's called strongholds, but there's only three of them in the whole world, so you can only do three. Now I know you can do.
It doesn't sound as epic as.
No.
The raids.
You can change your difficulty level.
When you say stronghold.
Yeah, the higher the difficulty level, the better you loot. So once you finish the main story, when I did, I unlocked Grandmaster difficulty level. But even on normal, some of the enemies, particularly solo, the tough, you need to be in a team to do some of the enemies. Some of the
How big were the teams for the raids?
Four.
Or the strongholds?
Four.
It was four?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have all. I mean, so Anthem isn't being covered in our news, at least not for this little bit. But apparently, you know, their woes just they can't catch a break. So it was discovered that in co-op play, gun balancing somehow got screwed up on certain guns. So Anthem, one of the things that they promise is that the ability for low level players to be able to play with high level players. That they would kind of do some balancing to try and, you know, allow a lower level player to be able to hang. Well, and it effectively broke some guns to the point that low level guns, like starting guns, were actually dealing more damage than a high level weapon, you know, masterwork weapon. So, they have a very steep hill to climb if they want to write this game. I think it's possible. They can get this to a point that it could be looked upon kind of favorably, similar to the Division. But I think their hill is a little steeper than the Division's was, because I think the Division at first had a very positive vibe, and then within a month it kind of hit a wall where people started getting, like, you know, the bad stuff started happening.
Yeah, the Division's gameplay was, or the single player or whatever you want to call it, the campaign was excellent. I thought the end game was kind of weak, which is what pulled me away.
So anyway, so Anthem, buyer beware, right? I think that's
Beware? Is that what you said?
Beware. The only saving grace is because our game share with Greg, and Greg had some sort of like vouchers already, coupons. It only costs us 20 quid each, so that's one saving grace. I've got nearly 30 hours into it, so I've got my money's worth, I think. But yeah, I've no rush to go back to it. So, following doing another big game like that, and I'm halfway through Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I fancied doing some smaller games just to get a few under my belt and that, and just a quick drop in, drop out. Now, I was halfway through Flying Tigers, Shadows Over China. I played that quite a while ago, and I thought, oh, I'll have a go on that. I'll finish that off. I had about another 6 missions to do, and I finished it, and I found it really, really good. It's not the best-looking game on the Xbox One, but it serves a purpose. It's quite fun. The playing controls are decent enough. The combat's decent enough. There's a variety of dogfights and bombing runs, and there's even torpedo shots you can do to ships in the water. You fly alone, drop a torpedo. So it's quite interesting. There's some, I don't know if they're real-world battles, if they've pulled from history. Do you know that, Greg?
I don't think they are. I think they're, you know, it's based on historical stuff, but not necessarily historical to a T.
Yeah, but yeah, it was quite interesting. So, yeah, nice fun little
game. It is. It has a simmy feel to it, but it's not full sim.
And so I had it set to arcade mode. Yeah, the controls I had set to arcade mode. So,
yeah,
it's quite fun. So,
all right, excellent. Anything else you want to talk about?
I started Little Nightmares. This is a game I bought quite a while ago on a sale. I think I only paid about £5 for it. And I've heard a lot of good things. I saw it at EGX a couple of years ago. So I picked it up and I started it. I've done the first 2 levels and I really like it. I know Robin talked about it, and I think Robin said some good things about it, but I think he wasn't over enthusiastic about it. But I'm really enjoying it. I think it's really, really cute. For a horror type game, it's quite cutesy to look at. Your character's quite cute. There's some little gnome things with like little pointy hats on you have to hug. There's so many in a level, you have to find them and hug them. And I think it's got... obviously, until I get to the end, I don't know, but I think I might be dreaming what we call Little Nightmares. I think you're in a nightmare and you'll eventually wake up because some of the scenarios are quite weird for some weird enemies and that. I don't want to give anything away.
Could it be a child's nightmare?
It would appear that way.
Little nightmare,
But it's a bit, genre-wise, it's like a puzzle platformer, which is a genre I really like. I've always... liked my platformers from being young on the old Amstrad and Mega Drive and everything. So it's right up my alley, is this? Doing some puzzles where you have to climb up things and open levers and open it different areas and that. So, yeah, very interesting little game. Like I say, I'm only 2 levels in. I think it was 5 levels in total, so I'll report back on that later.
All right. And then I know Trials Rising...
Yeah, started Trials Rising. We picked this up just after launch because we're running the challenges now. So I thought I better get some times in. I actually quite like this. I feel there's more variety in this than there was in the previous Trials games. I don't know if you feel that.
The stages
seem longer.
They do seem longer. Like I do feel like the stages are longer than the original Trials. Like I think the original Trials, it started out with some really very short stages, and then they would get longer as you got into more complex difficulty.
Yeah.
This, it feels like they've kind of doubled the length of the initial stages. I think it very much to me feels like a throwback to the original Trials HD.
Yeah.
And so for that, I like it because there's not a lot of the extra stuff that, you know, you don't have. You have the map editor, you have some multiplayer, which is just basically just, you know, racing against one another type thing. And then you've got, you know, the single player races, which you still can race against ghosts, which is a lot of fun.
And there's it's not available yet, but there will be private custom matches soon. It's locked out at the moment on the dashboard.
Yeah, that will be a really good thing for the community. We have a Trials challenge going on, so we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mark?
Well, apart from what we did last night, I'll let you come back, John.
Yeah, we'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah.
Not sure we want to know about it, but all right.
Well, Gary, I'm just going to cut through you real fast.
Yeah, this will be quick.
You have been playing the Frowny Face game, which I believe amounts to I ain't got time for no games.
I have had no time. I did play golf a little, but that doesn't really count. I did fire up Clash of Clans once because the guys at work said it was actually pretty good again.
Mm-hmm.
So I played, and it took me to some new island.
Oh, yeah, the Builder's Island.
So I had no idea what was going on, and I went to a battle, and then I never played again after 2 weeks. But maybe I'll pick it up again. We'll see.
All right. Okay.
Go next. Let's get out of here in an hour and a half.
Kim, let's yes. go.
Same as last week, Strange Brigade, Overcooked 2, and Red Dead 2. The only difference is I tried to hunt down the legendary deer. Yeah, that didn't go. So there was an O'Driscoll camp, like, I don't know, maybe 50 feet from wherever this deer was supposed to show up. So, yeah, in the end, I end up pissing off the O'Driscolls and trying to kill all them and getting shot. And, you know, they start you back somewhere else. So, you know, I ran around some more on my horse and goofed off. So that's pretty much it.
I think one of my favorite things in Red Dead Redemption 2 was the stumbling into other encampments types, you know, situations mm-hmm. where, you know, it probably was part of a mission at some point, a side mission quest or something. But I just happened to stumble into these camps because I was wandering around and then you just develops into these massive firefights.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff. And I was woefully unprepared. So,
yeah, I think, Old Peculiar, I believe that's who I saw it was on Twitter, had a screenshot from Red Dead Redemption 2. It was a great screenshot. It looked like it was a nighttime silhouetted on horseback against the backdrop of the moon. Like it was just really very picturesque. Yeah. So well done. I love doing the screenshots in that game.
Yep.
Such a pretty game.
It's not even funny.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. I've been seeing them on the captures. I see it every once in a while. I'm like, oh, I'll like that one.
Yeah, or the wagon falling from the sky.
Oh, that was, yeah. I mean, that 2 minutes later, a guy goes,
ah. Yeah, then the guy falls from the sky, and if he lands, just dies. But amazingly, the horse fell with the wagon, and the horse survived. So go figure.
If it was
no
your horse,
animals
it would be dead.
Were killed in Probably. The making of this game. Yes.
Exactly.
All right. I guess that means me. We already talked about Trials Rising. We've been playing that for the challenge. We talked about Anthem. I continue with my Crackdown 3 orb hunting. I very much still enjoy this game. And I think what I like about this game more than anything is it is a palate cleanser. Yeah. When I have been playing games that are single player or they're, you know, Anthem where you're kind of grinding out for a while and you just want a break and do something that doesn't require your full attention, so to speak. Crackdown 3 is a great one for that. And I love going around the city looking for orbs, which you can just get completely lost in. But then also, I just like setting up shop in certain parts of the city and just laying waste to all kinds of shit. And and then, of course, you know, it does the GTA thing where more and more cops get pulled in. And I call them cops because they're the city's
As you wanted level goes up, they send more and more after you, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm powerful enough now that, I mean, every once in a while I get in trouble. But for the most part, I can just put a beat down on these guys. So, and
what are you go-to weapons then?
So the Singularity Grenade absolutely is a good call.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the rocket launcher. The homing rocket launcher, which I still very much enjoy.
Yeah.
I like the grenade launcher for whatever reason. I find that one fun just to spread out grenades across a roadway in front of me and just let them go. And then it's a rifle, but it's like a single shot rifle. It's one of the higher end rifles. Right. I forgot that.
Is it
not
the bolt
a sniper
one?
Rifle.
The bolt one. I think because it causes burning.
So.
Yeah, that's my go-to. I like the bolt rifle because it eats through armor as well as flesh.
Yes.
And there's a like chance for him to catch fire. And then my go-to heavy one is the Anubis, which is like a multi-fire rocket launcher, but it shoots corrosive rockets, and that just lays waste to everything. But some really good weapons in there. Later on, you unlock there's one called the Devastator, the Oblivion,
the Jackhammer. I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. So it's such a good game. I don't know why I get so much hate.
Good. Yeah,
it's
and
all out fun. I finished this the other week actually. While I was off, I finished this.
Yeah.
The story. I still need to go back and get the rest of the orbs.
Right.
Oh, and did you know they've just released yesterday? I think it was Crackdown 2. Free. As well.
Yeah, that was part of a patch announcement. So they have a patch coming out that they announced as making some changes to the game. A lot of fixes for bugs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they're doing some upgrades to the game UI as well. I think the map, when you complete an area, like you complete it, you collect all the orbs, you find, you know, all the hidden things, it'll actually highlight it a different color.
Right.
So you know you cleared that entire map out. So I think that'll be handy for those that are doing the orb chasing.
Yeah. Have you done all the propaganda towers yet? Some of them are
not all of them.
Yeah,
not
some of them are fiddly. The really higher up ones. I enjoy those, though. Yeah,
propaganda towers are—they're a good platforming challenge, and it's not the hardest platforming ever.
No, it's just getting your timing right, isn't it?
Just enough. And you get up there, and once you're at the top, there's just a satisfaction of being able to look out over the city. Yeah, and then I always jump all the way down.
The sensation of height is quite good as well. Yeah, I've noticed if you jump off, if you do the ground pound move just before you hit the ground, you don't die. But if you jump off high enough, you can actually die from falling. You can get fall damage.
Yeah, there is an achievement. So in the previous Crackdown game, and we'll finish up here on Crackdown, but the previous Crackdown game, there was an achievement for getting to the top of the tallest building and diving off from that into the water.
Yeah, I have cracked down one of the agency tower,
Right.
There's a small pool you have to dive into. Yeah.
This game, you have to take your vehicle to the top of the tallest tower.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know that.
And there's the vehicle transforms, and in its spider form, it can climb any building. So that I don't know if I'll try that one or not, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know if I can really be bothered to care about it or not, but either way, it's just dumb fun.
Yeah.
If you have Game Pass, that's where I'd recommend. Check it out. Also, if you have Game Pass, Just Cause 4. That just released out to Game Pass. This is a game that I
nearly bought this a few times as well. I'm so glad I haven't.
3 months back.
I love Just Cause.
So I was listening to a show called Windows Central. Well, not Windows Central, but Jess Conduit from Windows Central was on with Randall Thor 19. They do an Xbox podcast. Yeah. They were talking about Game Pass. And they were talking about they think there's some marketing deals in place, and I tend to agree with them. I think all of the marketing deals Microsoft is making now, I have a feeling they are including a clause in there that says if your game with us on a marketing deal falls below like X percentage in terms of sales for a month or a week, that the following month we'll get your game into Game Pass to help boost its sales.
All right.
It makes total sense. And you know, we already saw it with Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Saw it with Just Cause 4 now, and I have a feeling this is going to happen more and more. Metro Exodus, I have no doubt, in 3 months' time, if it's fallen off and really not being bought up by people, you'll see it come into Game Pass. My gut feeling tells me they're making those kinds of marketing deals, and it makes sense. Yeah. And it's a good way for them to get some additional money when their game stops selling.
They've got more chance of selling any DLC to Game Pass users rather than, because you're not going to sell DLC to people who haven't bought the game. So, it's just giving it a bit of longevity, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I fired up Just Cause 4. It feels like a game that didn't quite get the proper budget it probably should have. I like the voice acting. I like the story so far. Yeah. That's all fine. But visually, some of the lighting is good, but I can't quite put my finger on it. But it just doesn't look as good as I think Just Cause 3 did to me. Right. So
I've heard that.
Yeah. So I mean, I like it so far. It's been entertaining. It's been fun to use the wingsuit and the parachute, and you can really kind of get around the island very easily. It's a game that in some ways it reminds me actually a lot of Crackdown 3. So. I'm probably going to shelve it for now, finish out Crackdown 3, and then I'll probably come back to Just Cause 4. Because it is, again, another one of those games where you can just have some dumb fun of just blowing shit up in an area for a while. Last to talk about. Yesterday, we met up with the old True Skills boys. So Viva La Pedros, Game Over Greggy, Game Over UK. I just said Game Over Greggy. Different person. The True Skill boys, we met up with them and played some Rainbow Six Siege and some Halo 5. And Mark, what happened when we played them in these games? I think leading up to it, there was a lot of smack talk coming from their side of the conversation.
Well, I think we sort of like dominated a little bit, didn't we?
No.
I think we showed them what was what. Especially you, Greg, in the airplane mode on Rainbow Six.
Yeah, so we did the presidential plane in Rainbow Six Siege. We had 2 versus 2, and we took them out 4 matches to 1. I think they got a total of like 3 kills the entire time. I could be wrong on that count, but they got their asses handed to them. Now, they then said, let's switch to Halo because that's our gig, Halo. So they got us into Halo 5. We first played some rockets in Halo 5.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. They did very well.
Yeah.
You know, I did not do very well
in the rocket
matches.
In the first game.
Yeah.
On the rig. And that second map, I didn't like that second map.
But then we decided we were going to play some versus. So we fired up.
And we did SWAT, didn't we?
We did SWAT. Halo 5 SWAT. And Mark, you came to play. Mark led the team.
I love SWAT. That's the only mode I like on Halo. Nicole knows how much I love SWAT. In fact, it was Nicole who got me into SWAT. She taught me everything I know on SWAT. So we did quite well.
So for the first half of that mission, all we kept hearing from them was, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, they were quite surprised.
We're getting our asses handed to them. Yeah, they made a little bit of a comeback, but ultimately we beat them in Halo 5 as well. So.
Well, the usual thing with me, I started off really good, and then my heart started pounding, thinking, oh, God, we're doing really well here. And I started flapping a bit, but yeah, we did quite well.
We did.
Yeah, I was.
Finished with like 23 kills, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So like 14 deaths. Yeah. So it was good, yeah. To say they play Halo a lot, and for them to say, bloody hell, you're too good at this, that was such a compliment for me. So
it was very satisfying to hear that.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Made me feel really good. because it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, we're going to try and do it again next week, hopefully, cross fingers that it'll work out. So that might become a little bit of a regular thing. So if you're interested, you're listening to this, you want to jump in on that, by all means, let us know.
And the main thing, it was such a good laugh, wasn't it? It was just such a good social laugh. It was really, really enjoyable.
Good time, good people. Definitely look forward to doing that again. All right, let us get out of this and let's dive into our quiz.
No boy.
So
I see Robin's messing around in here again.
Is it?
He most certainly is. Yes.
You missed that.
I can see that.
A score of 100.
Wow. Yeah.
So I've noticed last week, Greg, you nominated yourself to be the game holder. I've not done it yet, and I know all you guys have. So can I nominate myself for this week, please?
You may. You may nominate yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've had a game in mind from day one.
It's fine.
Yeah, I had a game in mind as well.
I thought you did it first week, Gary.
No, but I really don't care.
All right, 20 questions. Basically, Mark has a game in mind that he has played this generation. It is a current title, obviously, on either the Xbox One, the PS4, or a current gen PC game, if you will. We all get a round robin of questions to be asking him to try and figure out what this game is. We have up to 20 questions. If at the 20th question nobody has guessed the game, then we all will get a shot at guessing the game. If nobody guesses the game, Mark gets the point. If somebody should guess the game early, say on the 15th question, Kim guesses the game, then that locks everybody else out, and Kim is the only person that gets a point. So,
if you do try guess early as well and you get it wrong, you're frozen out for the rest of the game.
Yes.
So there can be consequences.
Let us begin. Who goes first, Mark?
Clockwise, so it'll be on the Twitch screen. It'll be Kim, then you, Greg, and then Gary.
Kim.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Okie dokie. Is there co-op or MP?
That's not a yes or no question.
Yes, there is.
He said, is there co-op or MP? He said
and
no.
He said yes. No. And he said yes said or no. So.
Yeah, he said no, so there's no co-op or MP.
Yeah.
So it's a single-player only game.
Yeah.
All right. Is this on the PlayStation 4? Exclusively?
No.
Okay.
Hmm.
Is this an action adventure game?
No.
Hmm. All right. Shit. Is this an RPG?
Nope.
Are you like Mr. No right now?
Nope. Yeah.
Do you play as a human character?
No.
Well.
Gary?
Yes. Go away, boy.
Not Kratos.
Here comes a dog. Is this an Xbox One exclusive?
Nope.
Son of a...
Although I did just hear an Xbox turn on, for the record, I think. Maybe it's a PS4.
No, it's my son.
I heard a console turn on.
Yep, that's here.
All right. Are there any sequels?
No.
Jesus, Murphy.
Jesus, mother of God. All we know is it's a single-player game, I think.
And
he's not a human.
Yeah.
I mean, it's multi-platform.
It's multi-platform. All right. Is this a platformer?
Nope.
Hmm.
Oh, I'll tell you what I should have done. I haven't got my music on.
Slacker?
Yeah. Been off for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Rusty. Very rusty.
All right, Gary.
We like 12 questions here.
Yeah.
We're on the ninth.
Holy mother of pearl.
Right?
So, no co-op, single player only. It's not exclusive to console. It's multi-platform, obviously. It is not an action adventure. It's not an RPG. You do not play as a human character. And there are no sequels.
Yeah.
You do not play as a human, or you play as a human?
You do not play as a human. Well,
You're not. Your character's not human.
All right.
Yeah. So not a human character. Okay.
Shoot.
It's your question, Gary.
It is my question.
It is your question.
Is that your question?
No. It could be.
Is it a sports game?
No. I like your thinking, damn. But no.
Farfing again. I hate this game. Is it a racing game?
No, technically not.
Damn it.
No.
It has a racing element, I guess. It's not a racing game.
Hmm.
I don't think we're going to get this game in a million years, I have a feeling.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ever since I thought of this competition, I've had this in mind for months. I've played a lot of this game and I love it. And I have talked about it on the podcast a few times. That's too many clues and no more.
Wow.
Doesn't guess. Really help me, but thanks anyway.
I think it's my question.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Do you use guns in this game?
There are weapons in the game. Yeah, you could call them guns. Yeah, you do shoot things. That's probably going to throw you completely off as well.
Possibly. All right, Gary.
Do you play as a goat?
I like your thinking, but no. No, it's not Goat Simulator.
Not a goat.
Not a goat, yeah. Jeez.
I knew it would help you, because if you said yes, the next person would get it, but...
Right. You could have said he plays an animal, but...
God. So if there's weapons in this game, and I don't remember if this was asked or not, is this a shooter?
No. The genre is not a shooter genre.
Okay.
There's not many things left, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
Not a shooter, you're not a goat.
Was this developed by a Western developer?
Yes.
All right, so we know it's not a Capcom, it's not Square Enix, not Namco Bandai.
Was it also... I'm up, right?
Yeah.
You are.
Yes.
Was it also developed for iOS / handheld devices?
No. No, just PC and consoles.
Movies. Yeah.
It's your turn, Kim, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Got 5 questions left.
Are there mechs in this game?
Did you say mechs?
No, mechs.
Mechs.
Like Titans.
No.
Thought you were talking about Robin.
No.
Well, you know.
No.
Okay. No mechs.
No mechs.
Is there a time stopping mechanic?
No.
God. Indeed.
I had a theory, and that theory got blown out of the water. I thought there might be some loose interpretation of some of these answers. Right. Gary? I have a feeling we're going to succeed this one to Mark.
Probably. Is the studio still in business?
As far as I know, we have released one DLC pack, and I think we've got another in the works. So, I'll even go as far as to tell you it's a small indie studio.
Stop it. So they're small indie with DLC.
Narrows it down a bit, doesn't it?
Not really.
No, not really.
2 questions left, Kim.
All right, I'm going to ask a stupid question only because I don't know what else. Have I played this game?
No, I don't think you have. It's hard to answer that accurately, but yeah. I'm pretty sure you haven't.
Okay.
I know one other member of the podcast crew has played it. I ain't saying who, but I don't think you have, Kim.
Okay.
Last question, Greg.
No, this is all of us taking a guess at it.
Well, you can ask one question first, and then you all get a guess, don't you? You might as well use your question up.
Yeah. Yeah, that you do shoot, but it's not a shooter, is definitely kind of throws it off.
Yeah.
Do you play as an animal?
No.
Alright.
But it's definitely not human, so...
Nope.
If...
Well, you might be a human inside, but you don't actually play as a human. Oh, hang on, yeah, I guess you have. I'm just about to tell you what it was. But...
Right. Are we done?
Always... I think we all just...
Are we done? Yeah. Guesses.
Can I guess? Kim, who goes first? Do I go first? Kim again?
Kim goes first. And...
All right. Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, at first I was thinking maybe it was going to be Ori and the Blind Forest. Because I think you shoot things, but it's not really through a gun. And
considered a platformer, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I would consider it a platformer, but then, I don't know. You know, the there were some answers being given where I'm like, maybe there's some looseness to this response.
No, there's no looseness.
Yeah, well, the whole response on the playing as a human thing is kind of vague and loose.
The character on screen is not a human. What you control, you are not a human. But the human might be inside it. I don't know.
Doesn't really help.
Exactly. And I'll give you loads of clues there as well.
Apparently, yeah. I'm trying to think of...
If you'd have got the genre early on, you'd have got this no problem at all, but I think it's the genre what's putting you off.
Well,
the genre is definitely putting us off because...
No, I don't think we figured out what it belongs to.
You're fishing for time.
Yeah, we didn't. I know I'm fishing for time. I don't even have time. I'm looking at the clock. I know I don't have time. So,
pick again.
I was going to say Super Hot. I know that's not right. I was going to say Ori and the Blind Forest. I know that's not right. But I'm going to go back and say Super Hot.
That's a good guess because it's got a similar art style, but no, it's not Super Hot.
Gary?
I do like the guess on the Twitch, but I'm not going to take that. But we'll go to that second. Yeah. Let me go with Stardew Valley. Ooh. I have no idea. I never played it. I don't know if you shoot things.
You play as a human as well, so no, it's right. Not right. Gunslingers put Elite Dangerous is on the slightly right track because you do play as a ship.
It's not Stellaris.
No, Stellaris? Fuck that. You play as a human in that game.
It's not Elite.
You do not play as a ship.
It's not Elite Dangerous. Right, I'm just saying.
I just want to point out.
Is it No Man's Sky?
No, I'm just saying. It's like Elite because you play as a ship, but it's not Elite Dangerous, right? If you look on screen, does that give you any clues? It's
a river. No, because I have a network error. So.
All right, it's a rhythm action game.
I'm sorry, what?
A rhythm action game, and it's got a stonking soundtrack to it. It's called Aero.
I'm looking on screen. What the hell is that?
Aero.
Error?
Error.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Robin played the shit out of this at EGX, and I bought it day one. Kickstarted it on PC as well. I've got it on PC. I've got it on Xbox. It is superb. It's got a stonky soundtrack. Aero. A-A-E-R-O.
Yep.
All right. I believe in I just want to also point out that back in the origination of this game quiz, it was supposed to be something that was fairly popular.
It is popular.
You guys know, I would never do this to you guys with something that game
nobody heard of. Yeah. And for the record, in Elite Dangerous, you do not play as a ship. You play as a pilot the ship.
But this is not Elite Dangerous.
I know.
I said reputation for future.
Yeah,
for
I said Elite. Gunslinger was the closest.
I don't think we know if we're human or not, do we?
Right.
You don't know what you are in that ship.
You're humanoid.
Yes.
But, you know, it is undecided if you're human or not in Elite Dangerous, but... You do not play as a ship.
You're arguing a point which is no relevance because the only thing Gunslinger's got
arrow.
Gunslinger, as the only thing he got was a spaceship arrow. Part of it. There you go, base cannon. Look,
base cannon.
All right,
that was a good guess by Gunslinger. By the way,
Mark, you may award yourself a point with.
I've been wanting to do
that
for a long time. Thank you very much. I've run out of difficult games for you to guess now.
Just all pick right. A game we've played.
Yeah.
Robin played it. If Robin had been on, he'd have got that straight away. If he'd have said Rhythm Action.
I hope your freaking router crashes again, you bastard. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't want that on anybody. I take it back. I'm sorry.
let us shift gears quickly into some news.
Fucking news.
The news is... You know.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so quite a bit of news stories. I will try to briskly go through these. We'll give pauses for where a discussion hits. The first one up, leaked Battlefield 5 Battle Royale mode. Trailer for it came out. Basically was leaked out onto the internets. I think it looks rather good. You can play solo, duo, or four-person squad. Basically, the trailer is kind of the explanation of what the game game mode is. So it looks pretty official. I think this is very legit. I don't think it's not legit. So you'll be able to play solo, duo, or four-person. This is for their Firestorm Battle Royale mode. There's no specific weapon perks class specific weapons or perks for characters. So again, it's giving it that that PUBG Battle Royale. You just are on the ground with yourself. You're picking up weapons as you're finding them. Weapons will have a rarity rating. So if you have a more rare weapon, it may have a scope attached to it or an extended magazine, things of that nature. And when you get downed, you can still fire your pistol, which I also kind of like that. So you're not completely helpless. Objectives and safes are also going to be randomly around the map. And when you access these objectives or safes, you'll actually find better loot or vehicles. So you can then, of course, use the vehicles to get around the map. But an interesting twist on this was they mentioned the fact that using a vehicle can reveal yourself to the rest of the map. So I think, you know, using a vehicle might actually put, you know, like a radar blip on the map screen, which is, again,
target on your back.
A different twist. Yeah. So that's Battlefield Battle Royale. It had been interested enough that I bought Battlefield 5 on sale.
Wow.
It was 50% off. So it was only $30. So I said, screw it. I'm going to buy this game because this Battle Royale mode interests me more so than the class Apex Legends or Battlefield Call of Duty.
I think
Blackout.
I know why as well. This looks of a similar pace to PUBG. It's not as fast.
It should be.
It's not as fast as Apex Legends or as Blackout.
Right. Well, I don't like playing, you know, any shooter where by leveling up or having a certain character class, you get access to specific perks. Yeah. You know, I don't like Call of Duty where you're able to call in airstrikes and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't really like Apex Legends because the different characters have certain, you know, specializations. I just want it to be an even playing field. And so this is what has me attracted to this mode for sure. Hmm. Things that do not have me attracted to it. Nintendo announced Labo VR for the Switch. This basically was announced out of the blue last week. Labo is now going to offer a VR kit, which basically you can get two versions of it. There's a basic kit, and then there is a main kit that's for $80. You'll get six different cardboard kits to build. It'll include the VR goggles, which more or less are Google Cardboard. You will have a blaster and a camera. And this is legitimately part of the description. I double-checked it, not Robinisms. And an elephant, a screen holder, and a safety cap. So, there's that. Huh. The basic starter kit goes for $40, and it includes the goggles and the blaster. Additional accessories like the elephant can be purchased later in $20 sets.
God, there's a bird, a wind pedal.
Yeah, it just looks disturbing. And they've got pictures, by the way, if you haven't seen this, go look it up on the internet. They've got pictures of kids using this stuff. And the bird in particular is weird because the kid's staring up the bird's ass.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's just like...
And the other one's holding the elephant's trunk.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's bizarre.
It's on screen now.
And it just brings me back around to the notion of Google VR launched, I think they were trying to sell it for like $20, the Google Cardboard. And eventually they just decided, you know what, we're not selling enough of these. Let's just give it away for free. So basically Nintendo has come back and created this VR kit to, you know, for building these things. But then you're really never seeing them. Because let's face it, you know, the elephant on your face, you don't see because your face is stuck inside the goggles. I don't get the point.
Elephant on your face.
Yeah, I don't get the point of the animals in the building when all you're doing is putting this thing up to your face.
You might as well just have that main sort of like square goggle thing on your head.
Yeah, and then on top of it, the Switch is not powerful enough, I think, to give a good VR experience. It's going to be 720p. I really worry about the frame rate issues and motion sickness happening. I think this is just it's a Nintendo cash grab. That's what this world boils down to.
So for a PC to do VR, you need at least a 1060 or a 1070. It needs some horsepower behind it. I don't think that Switch has got that.
No, not at all. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, EA announced their E3 plans, and that summed up to be, we're going to be at E3 again. We're going to do our EA Play, but we are not going to hold an actual press conference this year. So from June 7th through the 9th, they will have their EA Play booth, and you can get free tickets to go visit and play games. During that time, they will do a series of live streams to show off unannounced games, but they are not going to have a traditional press conference. This is an interesting turn of events. I know we had some chatter on Twitter around this. People kind of wondering if this spells is this the writing on the wall for E3?
Yeah.
In some ways, I think it's a trend. I mean, Sony's not at E3 anymore, or at least this year. And I guess maybe that's the question to ask: do we think Sony comes back to E3? Do we think maybe EA does come back and do a press conference? Or is this just really the sign of what's about to happen to E3?
I do think it's the sign of the times here. You don't need to have those conferences like when they started years ago, right? You would go, and that's where you really got your information.
Right.
And today, it's so easy to get information out there with Twitter and Facebook and all this other crap. They really don't need these events anymore. You can build around that time to make it like an announcement time, but I think it just probably saves these companies so much money to not go and spend all that money there when you don't need to anymore. And it's probably the future. It's probably like Discord.
Kim, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same. I think eventually, E3 is going to go the way of the dodo.
That's a scary thought. Does it completely go away, or do they turn this into like a PAX event? Do they turn it into a kind of more of a fan?
I hope, because I mean, I don't want to see it completely go away. Because I mean, how much fun do we have sitting around here watching these things and watching what's going to be released and talking about it? And if it just completely disappears,
Whoa.
Yeah, I think the dog agrees. I think there is legitimacy to kind of both those points that I don't think E3 is necessary anymore. I think we all know that. Nintendo Directs, if nothing else, have proven the fact that you can have these kind of Nintendo events year-round whenever you want to have them without having to have an event to drive it. I do think E3 is going to attempt to pivot to be more of a PAX-type show or an EGX where it's about getting fans in to see games. I hope it still is a beacon for announcements because, like you, Kim, pointed mm-hmm. out, I love the pageantry of E3. Mm-hmm. I love hearing the different announcements. I like just watching the press events.
Well, we try to get online together at the same time as well, don't we? We're going party chat or whatever, and we all listen together at the same time. And
it's an event.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
But I think one of the things, the realization is it's an event we can watch from home. It's not an event we have to necessarily attend, and maybe that is truly, us being able to watch it from home is the death spell for E3.
And at the end of the day, if EA haven't that many new games coming out, why spend all that money on a press conference when they've got no content?
I'll say this. I think the telling thing is, what does Ubisoft do this year? What does Bethesda do this year? They have not announced officially what they're doing for E3. If they are not coming, if they're not going to have presence, I think that absolutely is a death nail in a big way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I think companies attending E3 this year have a huge opportunity to really own the spotlight and the conversation for the week of June or the month of June even, because Microsoft can take full advantage of this right now. Sony is literally not going to be at E3 or have a press event at E3. EA is not going to have a press event at E3. The stage right now is Microsoft's to own. If Ubisoft and Bethesda do a press event as well, they're going to be able to share that conversation, that center stage, so to speak. There's value as it stands right now, but who knows?
You know who's going to have a big press conference? I heard was the developers of Arrow.
Mad Fellow
Arrow
Games
2 is coming soon.
Yeah. Mad Fellow Games are good lads.
Me and Robin's met them both. let us move forward. A little bit more of EA news.
It's not like Tim Legends kicking Oxenfree.
Yeah. Apex Legends hit 50 million players after a month. They are absolutely killing it. So with EA stumbling on Anthem, they sure have hit a home run with Respawn and Apex Legends. And at one point they had in their first weekend, they saw upwards of 2 million playing concurrently. So they definitely have a large player base right now invested in the game. I will say this, though. It's a free-to-play game, and I do wonder what's the translation of player base to actual monetization. How is that going?
I'll give you a good example. My son loves this game. He plays it nonstop now. All his Xbox time is on Apex Legends. He used to play a lot of PUBG and Call of Duty Blackout. He's dropped all of them, and he plays this solely now when he gets Xbox time. And he's just told me today, as soon as they release the next season pass, he's buying it. He's buying all the content he can for it because it's been free to play. There's so much entertainment from it. He's willing to spend money on this to the developer.
What's the season pass going to be? New maps and stuff?
I don't know. I think it's a bit like Fortnite where it won't be new maps.
It'll be access to challenges.
Yeah, like you get rewards and stuff. I don't know because you can unlock skins and everything for this cosmetic.
They don't
stuff.
Want to split the player base that much. No. I know, so they won't do new maps. It's going to be based on.
So like Fortnite, perks, they call a season books, pass. Yeah. It's like a monthly or a. By a twice monthly event where you earn XP doing certain challenges.
Right.
Oh, okay. You get bonus. I didn't even remember what they did for Fortnite. So.
Yeah.
PUBG is still free, 100%. By the way.
What?
It's free. Well, no. Not the game. You pay for the game, and then everything is free.
Say, all right. Yeah.
$9.
Well, they do have some game pass. Season pass. They have a season pass in PUBG. Yeah. Yeah. They have in-game purchases in PUBG, but. Yes. The core game, you're absolutely right. Outside of cosmetics, it is all free. Yeah. And that's the way these kind of games should be, my personal thought. All right, moving on. Next piece of business. Sony brings PlayStation 4 Remote Play to the iPhone and iPad.
I've not tried it yet. Have you tried it, Gary?
I don't have an iPhone, and I don't have an iPad. It's funny. When I saw this, I'm like, I wonder if they did this for the Android devices and missed it. But I don't think they have, because I found articles that said it was on there, but I didn't see it on my store.
There are apps on the PlayStation 4 that do Android Remote Play, but they are paid for apps. So I think it's like $12 or something like that. There's an app that you can do Android Play. This is actually made by Sony, though, so this is completely free.
It's an awesome idea. I will tell you that I had the Vita, and it worked flawless on the Vita.
Yeah,
you don't like the buttons and stuff, but you know you can just use your Bluetooth controller connected to your phone, your tablet, and you're off and playing. You know, God of War. I mean, I did that at work when I was trying to finish up God of War. There was some stupid little tasks like collecting maps or something. I think I was doing. I was doing it at work with my Vita because I didn't really need to go into combat.
They've even got a remote play app on the PC and Mac because before I had all my screens set up and everything, I used to hook the PS4 and the Xbox up to the main TV and just have my Mac. So when Jenny wanted to watch TV, I could remote play on the Mac and still use a controller. And the quality was amazing. You could tell it wasn't the full 1080p, but there was no lag or anything if you're on the home network.
So a couple of tidbits on this. It does use local Wi-Fi, so you can't do your 4G or 5G phone connection. So that apparently does not work. So it is on a local Wi-Fi scenario. You cannot connect your DualShock 4 to your iPhone unless you have it jailbroken. So apparently
that's Apple stuff, right?
So you'll need to have a third-party controller if you want. Otherwise, you have to use the overlay screens, which, but I'll be honest, I saw those.
To be fair,
they're not going to work.
If you're on the same network, on the same Wi-Fi network, you're going to be in the house, right?
Yeah. Right.
And your DualShock 4 has quite a long range, so you could probably use your DualShock 4 and just use your iPad as a screen.
Right.
As long as there's no lag.
Right, as long as you're not like three rooms away type thing, you should be able to do that just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is a nice benefit. It's again kind of just again pointing a little bit more towards this whole streaming future. Companies preparing for that. Companies wanting to make sure that they have different systems in place for different need. The last piece, remember how we were talking about Anthem can't catch a break? Anthem can't catch a break story. Apparently, Anthem has been shutting down PlayStation 4s. I mean, literally shutting them off, shutting them down. So people are not just getting booted to the dash.
There's a very few of them have been bricked as well, the reboot.
It's brutal, dude.
Yeah. I think part of the brick, though, it turned out that was not the case, that they went about the process incorrectly, and that's what bricked their PS4s. Right, but it is shutting them down and in some cases making them re-index their PS4. And that's basically what, you know, kind of where that bricking situation happened, because they didn't do that properly.
Yeah.
So, and I have heard a couple Xbox One issues similar to this, but nothing as nearly as widespread as the PS4 situation. EA is aware of it. They are working on trying to figure out what is going on. There hasn't been an update solution yet to this. So that is certainly not going to help Anthem's case for getting players.
Without an acknowledgement, I probably wouldn't have believed it, but for them to say they're aware and working on it, because I would be like, no way, a game's crashing the fucking console. But I mean, it is.
When it first came out, it crashed us to dashboard a few times, hasn't it?
Right. And that I expect.
But not shutting the whole console down.
Crash, but yeah, the entire console just shuts down. That has to be I'm going to shit myself moment, too, because you're thinking, my console just died.
I would be furious. Yet,
it's the game doing, not your console. There we go. EA having more fun with Anthem. All right, I'm going to cover these responses real quickly. Kim, why don't we have you cover these responses? I've been talking for a while.
6:29 in the East.
I know. We're going to go 10 minutes over, so we need to go through these quickly, Kim. But we had a bunch of responses to a question we threw out there, which was with E3 approaching and having a very different vibe and feel with Sony skipping what is your most anticipated game or announcement for E3? Is there a rumor you hope holds true? You know, basically throw this out to the chat on Twitter, and we had some responses.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. And those responses are from Tim Kelly, who is Chopper Kelly 1. We would love to see some Elder Scrolls news or a Borderlands 3 announcement. I agree with that. Yeah, I would love to see some of that too. Right?
I think you're going
to
get both. I think you're going to hear Elder Scrolls for sure. And Borderlands 3, I think they've been teasing that so much.
I loved Borderlands 1 and 2, but I'm just not bothered about a third one now because...
Well, loot shooters have been done to death of late, right?
Exactly.
Yes, but you know as well as I do, when we get a gang together to play Borderlands 3, you'll be right there with the rest of us.
Yeah, I know. I'll fucking buy it. I know I will. I love loot games and I'll end up playing it. Yeah, but...
Yep. All right, and we have Jason, who is Teflon12. He says, I am glad BioWare is working on a new Dragon Age. Me too. But I don't expect any more news on that for probably another 2 years. I know, and I'm sad. I hope to see a new competitive multiplayer game that catches my interest, since can't get into Battle Royale games. Yeah, I can't either.
Talking of Dragon Age, I saw a tweet today. Dragon Age 2 is 8 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's backwards compatible, so maybe I can fire it up and finish it.
Did you say the second one's not as good, though?
I didn't think so, but other people, I think Teflon will fight me on that one. So
a lot of people like Dragon Age 2 better than Dragon Age Origins, the original.
I've heard opposite to that. I've heard people say they love the first one and hated the second. But
Agreed. I was right there with you. First over second, for sure. I do think you're actually going to hear some Dragon Age news. I think that is going to be one of those live stream things you'll see with EA. It won't be probably much, but I think they're going to somehow work that in. We saw the logo last year. They've already teased it. So I can't imagine we don't get something new from Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age. And then, in terms of shooter, multiplayer games, competitive multiplayer games, you're going to see more of that from E3. Right. I mean, if nothing else, Halo Infinite, you're going to see that for sure.
Alrighty, and we have Louis Raimondo, Dinoc TQ. Did you all see that EA is also skipping E3?
Ah. Yep.
Yeah.
They are taking a page from Nintendo then. I'm seeing a trend here. Could the traditional E3 be a dying breed? I'll be looking forward to this OC episode.
Yeah, we probably should have put his tweet up into our context, chat when we talked about E3.
Yeah, but, good job, Mark.
No, that was my fault. My fault, not Mark's fault.
Damn it, hang up.
No, Danaka. Lewis also, by the way, tested out the PlayStation 4 remote app. He's the one told me that he couldn't connect up his DualShock 4 to it, so he was less than thrilled about that. But he said it did work. Yeah, he said it worked. So, it could work in a pinch. Continue on, Kim.
Tom Harding at GunslingerX1983, who I believe is still in the chat.
Yeah, he's in the chat, yep.
EA revives Visceral, announces Dead Space 4. Wait, no, that's just a dream. I'm mainly excited about next-gen talk now, I think.
Another Dead Space game, I could do with one of them, yeah.
Yeah, I could see them bringing Dead Space back.
I think too, actually.
It's been a while. I think they could even go for a reboot on the whole franchise and bring it back for next-gen.
And didn't they all do fairly well? I mean,
with the exception of the last one didn't do so hot.
All right. Fair enough. And last but certainly not least, we have Multiplatform Man, which is Psalm 67. And he says he wants a new Vita. And he also wants Bongo Royale. Because don't we all?
I got a feeling Robin might have put that Bongo
Probably.
Royale.
I
might be wrong.
There was a tweet going around. Robin talked about creating up a new Battle Royale game, and I chimed saying we could call it Bongo Royale.
Right.
You have to be the first one. Because he wanted a Battle Royale game that everybody starts together, and then you race away from one another. And I said we could make it the first one to find the Bongo pot of virus gold at the end of the rainbow. And so we called it Bongo Royale. I don't think you're getting a Vita or Bongo Royale, sadly.
Haven't we just recently stopped production in Japan of a Vita completely?
Yeah, they did.
I'm with you, Colm. I've got a Vita. I've not used it for a long time, but it's a great piece of kit, and it's a shame, really. They should have supported it more.
Yeah, I feel like Sony knows now their lane. The PlayStation 4's success, and with the Switch succeeding as much as it is, I just think Sony may say, you know what, we're going to stay on our, with what we do best, which is make consoles, and stick to that and get away from the handheld. So, anyway, all right.
Yeah.
New releases coming up for the week of the 9th through the 16th. Gary, why don't you race through these real fast for us, if you'd be so kind.
Sure. Is this Robin proofed?
This is more or less Robin proofed.
All right, let's go. Let's see, March 12th, the Caligula Effect Overdose on the PS4, Switch, and PC. We have the Legend of Heroes, Trials of Cold Steel. Gosh, that's long on the PS4, March 12th. Also on March 12th, we have Lego Marvel Collection PS4, Xbox One. On March 12th, we also have MX versus ATV All Out, the Anniversary Edition on PS4 and Xbox One. And on March 12th, we have Duber Brook on PC and Mac. March 14th, we have Recall on the Switch. Recall Blood Squad. Waves, March 15th on the Switch. Some game called The Division 2, March 15th. PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And then we have One Piece World Seeker on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on March 15th. And there are your new games for the week.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for that, Gary. Well read and well done. Mark, we had our Trials Challenge. Rising, challenge number one in the books.
Yeah, challenge number one was on the track called Happy Camper. I've had all the time submitted to me. Peachin submitted a bit of a later time today. I did allow it, but sadly it didn't make the top five, so sorry, Pete. So in fifth place, we have Bongo Vasane with 37.661. In fourth place is me with 37.179. In third place is Womble MK3 with 37.103. And in second place, Martin C 1984 with 37.083. But the winner is our very own Greg DeLacy, Murphy's Law, with 36.916. I could not break.
Overachiever.
Yeah. If you watch the video, it's a complete fluke. <'Cause> he was so close to crashing, he was on his front wheel doing an endo for half of the track. So well done, Greg.
Yeah. So break that pace.
Yeah, I think I might keep a tally of how well people have done, and for people who are not a host, after a season of this, we might better do some sort of giveaway for them, a bit of an incentive. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah,
we can manage that.
Give it a bit of an incentive. So the next Trials Rising Challenge, number two, will be on the track Breaking Bad, named after one of my all-time favourite programmes. And this is using the squid bike again, because not everyone's unlocked the second bike, because you have to get to level 14 for that. So we're going to stick with the squid. To make things all fair and even, what you need to do is, once you've done the track with that bike, take a screenshot, or even better, do a record that on Xbox or PS4, or on your PC with your Nvidia, whatever it is, capture thing. And then submit that to me, either on our Facebook page, there'll be a post for the challenge on there, just add it into that thread. You can tweet me at Markanix, or you can post it in our WhatsApp chat group, OC Podcast What's Next group. If you're not in that and you want to be added to that, just contact me or Greg or Kim and we'll add you. So yeah, to keep things fair and even, you need to just submit that. I can't just rely on leaderboards because of the bike situation. If you do it on a faster bike, then it'll overwrite the times. So yeah.
No. Easily enough, I will submit my winning time for you next week.
yes, all right. Well done, Greg.
Victories achieved. This is an ongoing contest we have where basically you complete a game, you take a selfie with the game in the background, you tweet us off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved in it, and you'll get entered into a contest to win $20 or £15 in either PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam Bucks. It's running through the 31st of this month, so it is wrapping up quickly. We have, for this week, a whole bunch of people completing Crackdown 3. Yeah, Markanix, the real Richard Webster, Danok TQ, and Mr. Miyagi 1984 all finished Crackdown 3. We also had Markanix finishing out Anthem and Flying Tigers Shadows over China, not Chinny.
You missed one. You missed a Robinism.
No, I purposely left that one in.
All right.
We also had Hardly Dan. He finished out Far Cry 5. So congratulations to all of you for finishing those games. And your reward for now is this. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have won a victory's achieved. All right. And that brings us to closing up the show. So, hey, if you want to be part of the conversation, we are here every week. Twitch.tv/OC Podcast, Mixer.com, and YouTube.com/OC Podcast. 9 p.m. in the UK, normally 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. And if you are in Australia, we still love you, mate. 7 a.m. your time. Wake up with us. Have a cup of Joe and listen to the podcast live. Or if you don't want to do that, maybe you want to take us on the road with you to, I don't know, the gym, maybe on a plane. You can download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you can find the podcast audio. We should be there. We have a lot of clubs you can join, by the way. If you're lonely and you want to hang out and be part of a cool kids club, we've got one on Xbox One called the OC Podcast Club. We've got an OC Podcast community on PS4. We have the OC Podcast group on Steam. And finally, on a platform known as the future, aka Discord, we have the OC Podcast server. So you can check us out there as well. Most importantly, we want you to listen to this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, final shout outs. Let's wrap it up quickly. Kim, start us off.
All right, I'm going to shout out our shatters, and those are I'm Black Thunder, Nerd Allegiance, RCGC, Gunslinger X1983, Banana Nanon, Commander Root, Positivity Bot, Tide, and Tufel 9191. So those are our shatters today. Thank you for showing up and chatting with us. Shout out you guys. It's fun like it always is. And yeah, how about you there, Markles?
Yeah, I want to shout out Mrs. McAlex for putting up with very angry at Mr. McAlex yesterday. A lot of swearing and tantrums and paddying going on. So, yeah, I'm sorry for that. I just want to shout out you guys for the sort of like words of support over the past couple of weeks when me and the missus have been not so well. So thank you very much. It really means a lot. How about you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out the a little happy birthday to the godfather of Lousy at Gaming.
He's
my old gaming partner and podcasting partner. He was known as Gears. It's Jeff's birthday today, 55. So happy birthday, Jeff. And here's to 55 more, you old fuck.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday.
Gregor.
Well, hey, shout out to the three of you. Thanks for joining the podcast this week. Shout out to the listeners. Thanks for taking part in the chat if you were there. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're not here live, that's okay. We really do appreciate everybody being part of the community, taking part on Twitter, the back and forth. It's always a fun time. We look forward to doing it all again next week. Mm-hmm. And Mark, that means you should play music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.